Don't stick your head in the sand, because then everything's going to pass you by. This is a watershed moment. Like, this is not some hype. And then I could go to my sales leader and I could say, this is not my thesis anymore. This is fact. Here it is. If you increase your one-on-ones by 5%, you'll increase revenue by 2%.
What do you feel is like one of those areas that is still really ripe for innovation or improvement?
All of it.
Okay. Okay. That's a quick answer. Second episode.
Welcome back to Future Work, the podcast about a happier future of work and the role of technology and humans within that. Today, I'm thrilled to have Anthony Onesto join us. Anthony is not only the Chief People Officer at Suzy, an AI consumer research platform, but also a product and innovation advisor to HR tech platforms like ADP and Lattice. Today, we'll discuss which tech is worth investing in, the role of AI in the future of work, and why data is the new oil. So let's dive in. Anthony, thanks so much for being on. I know it's late your time, so I really appreciate your time today. I want to kick off with a question about workplace tech. I think it's really the big topic for this season, and you are a veteran in implementing many different HR tech solutions. I know a lot of HRs are toggling between platforms all day. I think average 16 platforms per HR person. Most employees are toggling between 35 different apps every day to just get to work. What does the landscape look like right now in terms of workplace tech? How are you looking at it?
Yeah, so glad to be here, and thank you for having me at an hour where I feel like my brain is actually at work. So wonderful to be here so late. Yeah, I mean, it's a meaty question you're starting out with, which is great. I've been in HR for 20 plus years. This is a badge of honor, maybe a 61st customer of Workday, because I saw, you know, my IT folks are like, we're not going to host your HR software and be responsible for it. I'm like, oh, there's a company that's doing it in the cloud, so we're just going to do that. They might be still implementing it, by the way. But anyway, I digress. I think, work tech, as we're saying, HR, recruiting, I think it's at its watershed moment. I think you're seeing an incredible opportunity from an investment perspective. I don't think I've ever seen more work tech startups that are happening. And the interesting part is a lot of them aren't HR folks or recruiting folks, but frustrated operational leaders or managers that were like, why am I doing it this way, this HR stuff? So I think it's a really interesting, you know, you still continue to have the larger players in the space and they continue to hold a lot of what I would call the enterprise market space because, you know, they work. I wouldn't say they work perfectly, but they work. And some of the HR stuff naturally is plumbing. I like to say it's plumbing and electricity, right? It works until it doesn't, and then you freak out when you try to put your lights on and they don't go on or you get a leak in your plumbing. So it's an interesting landscape of these sort of traditional players that are out there that are controlling a lot of the marketplace that are also buying. So I was a big fan of a platform called Peakon, which was an employee engagement platform that just grew and was doing such innovative work, and they got bought by Workday, and now it's part of their employee experience package. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that continued to play out. I think you're going to see a lot of the larger players building and getting rid of this. You said it before, 16, you know, like it's Frankenstein. I mean, if you like that kind of analogy, I'm a kid from the 90s. So I say more like Voltron, if you get the reference. So, you know, little lion bots for one big bot. It's all these different, because not one system really does everything really, really well. And so, you know, oftentimes your core HR is different than your performance system, which is different than your engagement system. And I still think there's a marketplace for that. I really thought, you know, when I was talking to the folks at ADP, full disclosure, I advised their data product group, but this was even before they had a small skunk project called Lifion. And I thought it was going to be interesting where they were thinking of it almost like an HR iOS, where they would have this core software, but then be able to plug in like you would in an iPhone. I don't think it's come to fruition to any degree. So I think you're still, I think there's going to be a consolidation, one, because budgets, you know, in HR were never large and they're just getting smaller. So I think you're going to see a consolidation. But I also think at the same time, a lot of the HR folks are looking for, or at least some of the folks like me who are early adopters, what is the AI, right? Like what, like how can AI play a part in this space? I'm excited about it. I advise a bunch of different late stage HR work tech companies and recruiting companies, early stage ones that are doing some interesting things. But from a practical perspective, how I think about it, I really want to figure out, is there's such an incredible opportunity to have all your data in one system to be able to report on. So you don't necessarily, you know, you might not necessarily, I always feel like there should be a layer on top of all my HR systems that handles both the data aggregation and the data warehousing, but also like the employee experience. So that way employees aren't going into multiple systems. So I think there's still a market opportunity there. Frankly, there's some interesting, we have a company we work with called Orgnostic that's pulling data from all our different systems, our recruiting system, our HR system, our performance system. So more to come from that perspective, but I think it's a really interesting time.
So you think that the, you know, existing players, they will try and maybe M&A up quite a few of the kind of like the upstarts right now, which obviously is a great incentive for people to start in HR tech today, because everyone is trying to build out their platform so that you kind of have this like one-stop solution. Obviously, you just look at something like Microsoft, right? Like obviously, whenever you have everything under one roof, usually they're never going to be like the best in class system for that particular application. So do you then even like in your own role or when you speak to other CPOs, like do you then see like people debating that trade-off between, okay, yes, it would be nice to have everything in one system, both for the administration side, for the people group, but also for the employees themselves. But then also like trading it off with, you know, but oh, but maybe there's this like much better, much cooler, much younger approach to performance management that you can like, you're not able to get it.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I you know, the 2023 is not a great indicator on the M&A front because there wasn't a lot of M&A activity just globally from a business perspective. And then just, you know, small percentage of that being work tech. But I do think so. I think you're going to see some of these players, especially with the proliferation of AI, you're going to see some of these larger players definitely doing acquisition. And absolutely, I think some of them, you know, ADP has tried to do a marketplace type of scenario where, you know, they arguably have pre-approved vendors within their marketplace that connect into ADP. I will tell you, the first time I tried it, the vendor did not work. So much love to that promise. You know, when you buy an app in the iOS, pretty much works every time, right?
It works,
so
yeah.
Anyway, so I think, you know, the more progressive core players in that HR space are going to definitely think about, okay, let me look at this new player here. I think it's probably going to be something in the AI space most likely, because some of them have already tried. You see Workday, you know, does recruiting, it does performance. But if you talk to most HR folks, they don't love Workday. So I still think there is and I was actually talking to the CEO, the new CEO of Lattice, Sarah Franklin, and I said, I think you have an incredible opportunity because of, I'm a huge fan of Lattice. Again, full disclosure, I do some product advisory services for them, but I think they're one of the better platforms from a user experience perspective. It's almost consumer application-like experience on the Lattice. They're getting into the HR space. That's what I've actually helped them with their product and go to market on that product.
Yeah,
I'm talking to their AI folks. So I think there is definitely an opportunity in a homegrown way to a degree that a player or a mid-market can go up market a little bit, but you're still, you know, you still have your work days for the, you know, the 10,000 employee space. But we can talk about even, you know, the future of organizations, and are we ever going to see another 100,000 employee organization with AI? So, I do think there's going to be opportunities, and there are going to be mistakes made.
Yeah, for sure. And I would love to talk about definitely AI, future of organizations. Like, we'll table those. I just kind of like want to go back to, you know, one thing that you just talked about, like Lattice kind of getting into maybe more core HR. Again, this may just kind of indicate that everyone eventually wants to become the one platform that everyone chooses, which obviously also makes it, you know, a very confusing time maybe for people in your position, especially those that are not as close to the tech space as you are, in terms of like, what do I then choose, right? Because like, do I go with like a younger system that is basically still trying to build those kind of applications? Like, We even recently saw Deel launching their HRIS, right? And they just bought Zevi to kind of like boost their employee experience. I don't think like 2-3 years ago, anyone would have expected someone like Deel to become your HR system, right? So, you know, when you're thinking about making these like really difficult decisions, because like you said, it's like electricity and plumbing, the moment it's in there, it's going to be pretty hard to rip out, right? I'm sure you've done those kind of like transitions from one system to another. Like, how would you approach that decision right now for people who are looking to either implement their first system in a smaller company or maybe switch to a system in larger companies, because there is so much out there today?
It's a great question. And yeah, I've always said, again, to pick on DP folks, I mean, they do own 80% of the world's payroll, and it's because payroll is very difficult to unplug and move. And full disclosure, we're an ADP client. We use their Workforce Now product. To answer your question, I think the way I personally think about it is I do it from a data perspective backwards. So ultimately for me, I think, you know, there was a LinkedIn nudge today about, you know, what advice would you give a director of HR? Someone wants to be a director of HR. And I said, you have to be analytics focused. You have to be. In this day and age right now, you have to be data focused. Like every decision you make, it has to be influenced, if not wholly imparted, by data that you're getting from your systems. And that's both, you know, I'm in the market research space with Suzy as a platform. So we think of qual and quant, right? So the quant is the data, the qual is the conversations you have with employees, the focus groups, that kind of stuff. So for me, it's super important. So when I think of that, I think of what is the best scenario? It's data in one place. And I think that has been the challenge with work tech, particularly in HR. You've had all these disparate systems, core HR here, performance over here, succession planning here, skills database here. And by the way, like, unless you're really sophisticated in terms of business intelligence and you have a warehouse and a bunch of analysts, and it's hard to get all that data into one place. There aren't many solutions that allow you to collect that data. So for me, the gold or the new oil is data. And most of these tech platforms know it, which is why they limit their API exposures, right? Because they all want to be the data aggregator now. So
like that,
and that
one
becomes frustrating.
Place.
So I think if they continue to limit the API exposure to certain data because they want to be that dashboard company, I think you're going to be forced into, okay, I want to go with the Lattice because it has everything. It has my core HR. Yeah. It has my performance. It has engagement. It has comp. So I think we're going to see an interesting movement there, unless there are players like Orgnostic, like I talked about, which allow API connection into the data and almost become your data warehouse. But again, it is because of the API limitations on the work tech side, on those core systems, they're limited in terms of what they can do, unless you just sort of do a data dump download into one system. So again, I would think of it from a data perspective. And then if you think about it from a data perspective, then you could start thinking about, well, AI, right? How does AI sit on top of that? And what kind of correlations, like at the end of the day, and again, I was talking to Sarah Franklin about this, I said, what most HR people want is the equation. By doing this impacts the business, right? That's the equation. We want like the math equation. We want to be able to say, if you do one-on-ones, it increases performance, and performance increases compensation, and you know, the company increased its revenue or it is more profitable. Like so one system with all the data in it will get me some of those correlations to say, you know what, actually, as we're analyzing the data, we're noticing, because we're putting in your Salesforce data, your revenue data in there is a correlation between having one-on-ones on a weekly basis to revenue. And then I could go to my sales leader and I could say, this is not my thesis anymore. This is fact. Here it is. If you increase your one-on-ones by 5%, you'll increase revenue by 2%, whatever it is. You know, again, I'm making stuff up. That's the piece.
Yeah, so this is really what you said before. This is really connecting the HR piece with the business piece, right? And so maybe just a few notes on that before we will go into product and AI. You know, I think a lot of the times there is a little bit of a stigma or an image that HR is really focused on HR stuff rather than really being a business partner or being in the business. Are you seeing now a shift also from other practitioners that they are starting to think more about, you know, these kind of things? Like, what is the things that we do actually impact in terms of like business result, revenue, profitability, etc.? And then also like practically, you know, where do you start on that journey, right? Because I think a lot of people have heard about data for decades, right? But the way that you just explained it, that's probably not something that many people are currently practicing.
Yeah, it's a good nudge. I think some of the smartest people I've ever met are in HR. And that's smart, generally EQ, IQ. I think we just have to start talking business. We have to start talking about in the language of business. So typically, and what I talk to my team and other HR folks about when I get phone calls about just sort of like, hey, I need advice or whatever, I always say, okay, what are you measuring? They're like, well, you know, we want to make sure we retain our employees. And I'm like, okay, but great. Everyone knows that's important, but why is that important? What is the business? And is it that you do want to retain every employee? So even the average or lower performer employees? So do you, like, no, you want to retain your high performers and figure out how to enable them, right? So, but it's always that like continuously pushing to what is the business result? And by the way, business results for us at Suzy are simple. It's revenue and profitability. That's it, right? Like that, we want more revenue, we want higher profitability, which means we have to be more productive, do more with less, whatever, however you want to engage that. Now, it come back from that, some of it's very linear. In sales, you can make that correlation really easy, right? Did you hit your quota or not hit your quota? When you get into engineering and other places, in HR, it's a little bit more difficult, but it's having that business conversation. So for me, it's in the profession, I think some of the smartest people, but we're often talking about the wrong things, the HR things, when we should be talking about those things, but how they correlate to the business.
It's like Stephen Covey's The Habits of Successful People, where you start with the end in mind, right? So actually our endpoint is not to retain employees. Our endpoint is to make the company more profitable, right? Because then we will all do well. Then you almost back out and say, okay, how do I achieve profitability? Or what is the role that I can play in achieving that? And then you say, well, you know, you can look at initiatives that basically drive profitability, right? And that can be maybe really direct in something like sales, but, you know, engineering can be measured by like the amount of product that they ship. And then maybe where are the kind of barriers for them to ship more or ship more often? And then you get maybe into like, what is the right program to launch right now? And maybe again, going back to the previous conversation, what is the right technology to do that, right? So I think we've been dancing around the topic of product and AI, so I think we have to dive in the last 10 minutes of this conversation. Sure. I basically just have like two questions, right? One is that you're advising a lot of companies, right? So you've mentioned ADP, you've mentioned Lattice, but I know you've advised quite a bit of startups as well who are a bit earlier stage where maybe you can still prevent them from making some of the mistakes that maybe some of these enterprise platforms are really hard to change now. But if you would start something today, or like as the founders that you're talking to, you know, what would you build today? What do you feel like is still missing in the market? Or what do you feel is like one of those areas that is still really ripe for innovation or improvement?
All of it.
Okay.
That's a quick answer.
Second episode.
We'll do a whole series on this. And if you look at my Burn the Box newsletter on LinkedIn, it really is that. It's like how AI is impacting this or that.
Yeah.
It's a great question. I mean, I thought I talked about before this layer that sits on top of all your different systems and is able to aggregate data, but even create an employee experience. So right now, so historically, what has happened with HR systems is that they didn't have an HR person advising them. That sounds so self-serving, but I do believe that is a fundamental barrier. Like, you know, that's not how the world works. I will also say that could be a barrier to innovation because it's like the same thing. But I think it helps having an HR person's perspective as you're rolling out. And that's what I love about whether it's ADP or Lattice or these other groups. They're coming to me because I have that experience. And also I'm a New Yorker and I have an opinion. So, you know, they're giving me advisor options. Right. Yeah. Like there's no BS. I'm not going to tell them what they want to hear. So I think there is a layer of reporting and other things that, that there's an opportunity. So if I were to start something, it could be something like that. Because I do believe like if my employees go into ADP or if I go into ADP as an employee, I'm picking on them today, but just pick any, like change the acronym. So whatever, HR system Acme Co. You go into the system and you want to request a PTO, right? It is not clear on where you do that. It is not clear at all. Buried in some menu because of, I think it's technical debt. I think it's, no offense to engineers, but they're not UX experts. I think it's just these systems have been created, traditional systems, in the spirit of compliance and legal, and not with the user at the center of it. What I would do is I wouldn't get rid of all of it, but I put a layer on top of it that is chat experience to say, I want to take a PTO next Tuesday. Can you put it in the system? Puts it in the system. It triggers a bunch of workflows in the back end. So your manager approves that all that stuff is there, but the interface is simple and easy. What did I get paid last? Like, think about what the questions and the, like, even for an HR administrator, and that's why I love, I'm doing advising for ADP's data product, and I have first look at their chat experience overlaying their metrics. It's awesome. It is, and I've never used those two words together in a sentence, but it is awesome. ADP is doing an awesome job here, because at the end of the day, we have all these dashboards, but we all have questions. What is my attrition? What is my year-over-year headcount growth? We're always asking a question. Why are we getting all these charts when all we need is an answer? Now, the great news is you get the answer, but also a chart that you can download. There's a lot of stuff they need to work on, but so far, so good. Orgnostic, same thing, system that we're using, overlaying all our systems. You can ask it questions. I can't wait to have it all in one place.
Yeah.
But I think it's going back to, I think it's thinking about, and this is such an easy answer and so obvious, but it's the AI. So I advise one company that is in the workflow employee experience, like onboarding space, very young company I think they're out of Berlin. Redacting name, you could find out on my LinkedIn who they are. But I'm trying to get them to think through, like, if someone wants to create an onboarding experience, they're making it super easy. We have a system called Workato here at Suzy. It requires training and an IT engineer to help us build workflows. What? Like, in this day and age? No. AI, I want to put in an onboarding workflow that does this and touches that and goes into this system. You hit send and it, like, builds something for you. And on the back end, it connects everything. That, and I've tried to explain to them, yes, you're simpler than where we are today. The next phase of this, where I think you can really, you know, because I think the biggest friction on these things is really getting the workflow set up. I want to create a workflow that, you know, onboards our salespeople a lot faster. So can we connect into our, you know, training systems? Can we, you know, just a simple sort of chat AI experience that creates these workflows versus going in and have to program these things in. So I think what I advise folks to do is think about the integration of AI, not only from a data perspective, but really from a user experience perspective. Like, I fundamentally believe that ChatGPT has seen the fastest growth of any software because of the chat experience. Because everyone, argue with me, tell me someone that understands chat. Everyone does. Everyone has text messages. I know you and I are connected on the platform. So it's that kind of experience. Yeah. That, to me, is the exciting part. It's the user experience within chat, not necessarily just the generative AI and the AI on top of it.
Is there then kind of like, okay, so you have all these, like, newer startups who kind of can be, you know, AI natives, and they can build these AI experiences. So maybe, yes, they have that perfect, like, workflow builder, but then you have all these legacy systems where maybe due to a bit of innovator's dilemma, maybe also due to, like you said, technical debt and, like, all the things that are preventing typically larger companies from innovating, you know, those two worlds somehow have to come together, right? Because, like, eventually people will not accept the fact that a system is hard to use, right? Because someone will disrupt them. So do you see that, like, in the coming years, that those two worlds will become closer together as, you know, both sides innovate?
I think so. I mean, I think the legacy systems have a couple of options. One, and I always say this even to young startups, I'm like, there's a competitor you're probably aware of. It's called Do Nothing Inc. Right. So it's like, do I buy your software or do I do nothing? Right. And that's a real thing in the startup space.
Yes.
Same thing for larger companies. They could do nothing. Right. And we know what happens if that is the case. They can innovate and try to get to a place where, you know, it's more progressive, it's difficult. They're just these constructs of an organization, of legacy thinking, that unfortunately will be very difficult to kind of move in that. And we've seen it. Like, we've been in this digital space for quite a while, and you still see a lot of laggers in that. So if they haven't made it at this point, unless AI makes it so easy for them to transform, whether it's, you know, code or whatever, or product, different story. But at least for now, I think the thinking is hard. And then they can acquire. And I think part of that problem is you're integrating this progressive, you know, quick thinking startup into a large organization. Sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes it does. And you integrate, and hopefully some of that cultural or that thinking penetrates the large organization. And you know, sometimes you often see that sort of startup CEO becoming the CEO of the larger org, but it's very difficult. What I predict, and there really isn't a group, a private equity group that's focused on this, but I do believe that there's going to be a market to take all these small different startups, Voltron them together in a private equity play, and say, we're going to go after these large companies. So I think like Jazz HR did this. They bought, that was, I forgot the name of it. It's Jazz HR, which is, it was Resumator at one point, which is a much cooler name than Jazz HR, by the way. But they're putting together, they bought JobVite. They have a private equity play to bring all these play together. The problem is they bought legacy players. So they're bringing in all this legacy
player. They went for the volume, for the customers.
Yeah, it's like putting together. Much respect to, you know, when I was younger, I loved the USA basketball team with Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. You put that team together now, it's not going to be as good, unfortunately. Yes. Same thing here. I think there's an opportunity for that. Let's grab some of the more progressive players. And, okay, you have one part of the HR cycle and work tech. You do recruiting. And I think we could potentially Voltron something together that goes up against. And I think Lattice is getting there, to be honest. I think they're early stage, but I think they're definitely thinking pretty smart about that.
So there's a shot there. So shout out to the PE community if you're listening. Here's your homework.
Exactly. Okay. Or reach out to me. I'm happy to talk about this stuff.
Connect to Anthony and get it done. Yeah. Okay, so then, you know, I think like the last question to ask really is, going back to your side of things in your chief people officer role, you know, I think people are inundated. Not everyone is as techie as you are, right? So people are inundated with like all these innovations and new platforms and platforms expanding. And I'm on a couple of mailing lists and everyone is launching new features and has new innovations. It's hard to keep up, right? So like if you're looking at workplace tech right now, like where would you start? What decisions would you make? Like, is it worth switching? Is it not worth switching? Like, how should people look at tech in 24?
I think it's a good, you know, most HR as an industry is not an early adopter. So I'm a bad person to ask that question, because I usually, any, you know, iOS comes out with a new 17, I'm literally like hitting refresh because I want the new stuff. But I think it's a wait and see, right? I think that's, you know, how, I think have a thesis on how you're thinking about AI and ways that you, I think there's so many, whether you know, it's on the recruiting side with automation and reaching out to people, whether it's, you know, building job descriptions. Lattice just announced their AI for performance and engagement. Like, there's so many things happening. I think it's a wait and see, but have a thesis. Like, where do you want to start? And start small, like experiment. I think there was a lot of trepidation about even just using ChatGPT. I think we're beyond that now, because people are going in and going, holy cow, like this, it hallucinates. And there's a lot of concern now with what it's putting out. But I think for the most part, a lot of people are seeing value in it within the HR space. So start small, pick a specific area that you want to test it on. It could be recruiting, could be more internal, like how do you automate more of your internal processes, but definitely pick a small piece is my advice. I would say don't stick your head in the sand, because then everything's going to pass you by. This is a watershed moment. Like, this is not some hype. This is a big deal.
It's real.
Get on board. Yeah, it's real. It's the internet. When, you know, I know a world before the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got into startups and techs right at, you know, the internet time. So it's definitely something where you definitely don't want to ignore it.
Okay, amazing. So that's definitely a call to action for everyone listening, that, you know, pick a small problem, but bigger problem, and see if there's a better way to resolve it. Okay, so that last question then is the same one for every guest, which is any wish for the future of work?
Yeah, it's a good one. I think my hope is that with all of this innovation, there is going to be job loss.
Mm-hmm.
There just is. And we're starting to see some of that. You know, Klarna announced, whether you think that's real or not, it's even if it's half real, there's a lot of folks that just lost their jobs there. I want to figure out a balance of how do we bring AI into organizations to create a better human connection. And I do these what if things on LinkedIn. And I wrote, I believe it was like, what if AI actually brings us closer as humans? And so that's my hope. It's like, all right, if we're going to get rid of all this sort of tactical stuff, what does that open up for us as humans? Yeah. How does that connect us more? And how do we, there was a really great book written about 12 years ago called Race Against the Machine, written by two MIT economic professors. So this whole AI thing, you know, history repeats itself. So back then, IBM Watson beat Ken Jennings in Jeopardy and everyone flipped out.
Yes.
So they did a research and said, is AI going to take over? And what they found is the equation was humans are going to be good at some things, better at some things. The machines are going to be better at some things. It's the combination of the two that's going to be the final equation. So it's that augmentation that I'm really excited about, particularly in the future of work. But there's going to be some disruption. There's going to be a bit of chaos, unfortunately, whenever you see things like this. So. Yeah.
Definitely. But there's still stuff that humans are better at, and that's what we'll focus on. I think that's the main message there.
For now, I don't know if you've seen, there was a video on X of a robot powered by Gen AI, and the person asked, you know, like, what are you looking at? They were in a kitchen with plates in a sink, and the robot took the plate and put it into the drying rack, and just like, and so... There's who knows what it was. I was wow. I was like, this is pretty incredible, because that robotics has always been the struggle, particularly with automation. Yeah. And it was just pretty world. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's still a lot to happen. But I love your kind of focus on, OK, let's do what makes us uniquely good, or, you know, what humans are uniquely good at. And, you know, hopefully there will be a future for all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much for being on, Anthony. Definitely have to do an episode too.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
As we conclude our discussion with Anthony on workplace technology in 2024, let's highlight a few of the learnings from today. Number one, HR leaders need to speak business. Any platform or program you're introducing needs to lead to a business outcome. And that leads to point number two, data is the new oil. To tie your HR efforts to business results, you need to be analytics focused. You need to have the data to underpin every decision. And you need to have that data in one place, not in 15. That's why we also have point number three, centralization of workplace tech. To get all the data in one place, you'll likely be better off working with one core platform that offers most of what you need. While there are some data warehousing solutions, they rely on vendors' API access, which is getting more and more limited as everyone makes a play for becoming that one central platform. Point number four is the opportunity in AI. So Anthony said at the end that while AI may negatively disrupt us, he still sees opportunities. For example, opportunities to replace bad user experiences with ChatGPT-style chat interfaces, and that create new workflows with a simple prompt. Point number five is to start today, because that's our final insight. If you haven't already, start today. Pick something, regardless of how small, and look at where new workplace tech or AI can automate a workflow so that you can free up your team's time to do the work that humans are uniquely good at. That's it for today. Join me again next week and subscribe for updates at flexos.org/futurework.